Welcome to Folkcraft. I'm your host, Temperance Alden. Today, I have on a special guest, Marshall, the Witch of Southern Light.
Hi, I'm Marshall, the Witch of Southern Light.
You can find Marshall on Instagram and TikTok and Patreon. And today, we are going to be talking about knot and cord magic. I love crafting magic, and I'm so excited that you wanted to talk about it because we talk about witchcraft being a craft and we use the word craft so much, but how much do we see that is actually tangible crafting versus store-bought stuff? Not that store-bought's wrong, but over the past few years, I've seen a big shift into the store-bought items instead of the handmade items. And I feel like there's a really big power in that, in hand making the items that we use.
Absolutely. I agree. I feel like I have been like a little artist my entire life. I love making things. I like crafting things. I was the kid who like wanted popsicle sticks for Christmas, you know, like that was my thing. I wanted to build something. And one of my favorite things about cord and knot magic, or honestly just folk craft in general, is it gets me back to my local land and then making something with what the land is providing me. And a lot of times, I like to use knot magic in stuff because I feel like there is magic in tying things up and binding them as well as unbinding them. And there are ways in which we can weave our will into something. And I feel like that's something that was actually kind of passed down to me, I think, from my own grandma. And you can even see, well, Patreons will get to, this is my dog right behind me. And you'll see the blanket that he is laying on is crocheted by my grandma. And she crocheted that when I was a little, like a baby. And what's crazy is I didn't know this about her. She raised Yorkies as well, 6 generations of them. And to this day, it is still Aspen's favorite spot. He is automatically drawn. If I move that blanket somewhere else, he will lay on it there because I just feel like there is a little bit of granny magic in it.
Oh, there's absolutely granny magic in it. My first experience with cord and knot magic was not witchcraft related. I was young and my mom had just passed away. And so I had found myself wrapped up and enveloped with this crafting, crocheting. They used to do prayer shawls at a church after school. So I was going to a school that, and I needed an after school program. And so they just kind of enveloped me because it was, my mom loved to knit and crochet and I learned how to knit from a young age. So I ended up in this prayer shawl circle. And these ladies, when I tell you, they were the best that I've ever experienced. Every single stitch had an intention. And you know, there's this whole wives' tale about knitting the sweater, and that you don't knit a sweater or crochet a sweater for someone that you're not married to, because if you do, then you break up before the marriage will happen. You're only supposed to make a sweater for someone after you're actually married to them.
I did not know that. Is that of history and Irish lore, or is that a little bit different?
I don't know where it originates from. I'm thinking it's American, but I definitely learned that from a young age, that you do not make someone a sweater. So socks, okay, mittens, scarves, any other item. But if you make someone a sweater and you're in a romantic relationship with them and you make it for them before you get married, you will break up before that marriage happens.
Oh, wow. I have not heard that one before, but now all of a sudden I will make sure to not do that, just in case.
Just in case. Yeah, but these women were wild. They would make these prayer shawls. And I heard some cursing too. And I'm not just talking about curse words. I mean, like, these women would stitch bad intentions into things sometimes that were not meant for prayer circle. You know what I mean? But yeah, that was my first experience. So from a young age, you know, stitching intention into crocheting, into knitting, into sewing. When we're talking about knot magic, we're talking not just about cording, but we're talking about weaving and fiber arts.
Yeah, and there's the there's an old folk tale, and I can't remember the origin of it. It might be Russian. It's called the Swan and Seven Sisters, or sorry, Swan and Seven Brothers. And there's different variations of whether it's 11 brothers or 6 brothers or 9 brothers, but it's always a gaggle of brothers. And long story short, they get turned into swans, and she is turned into a disguise. And a magician tells her to break the curse that is put on her brothers every single time the sun sets, they turn into swans. If she wants to break the curse, she has to go down to this place where the steam nettles are. And then she has to pull them barehand and silently knit sweaters for every single one of all of seven of her brothers. And if she speaks or utters a single word, a scream, a cry, anything while working with these stinging nettles, it will break the curse. It will not break the curse, and she will be stuck this way forever. And so this prince falls in love with her and tries and tries and tries to get her to speak, but she won't do it until she finishes all of the sweaters. And when she finally does, she gets to tell the truth, and the whole curse is broken. So there's like a lot of worldwide history about folktales when it comes to weaving magic into our clothes, our scarves, our jewelry. I mean, I want to talk about weaving magic into jewelry. I actually have, I won't like show you my foot on screen, but I have an anklet.
No made. Free feet pics.
No free feet pics. That's right. I have an anklet that I braided under the full moon in my garden on my patio balcony. And, It's three strands of red embroidery thread, and I weaved it all together as the base for a silver mercury dime that I hung on there as well for protection. So I took the three, and I had a little chant that I would say, and it was weave it right, weave it well, weave my will into this spell. And you could change it up, but it was a very, very easy rhyme to say over and over and over again.
I love how you're so like, all of your spells that I've ever heard you say, they have a tone, they have a pace, they rhyme.
I like rhyming spells. They don't always. And the ones that I don't share are usually the ones that are be like, this is what I need. This is my desire. I'm just going to say it pretty plainly. But sometimes, especially when getting into a chant, it helps me get into a sort of a trance-like mind state while I am braiding these three strands of thread, saying it over and over again, weave it white, weave it well, weave my will into the spell. And eventually I'm kind of just saying gibberish while I'm focusing on what my will is. And my will is protection while I'm wearing this anklet. I made three of them for two of my best friends as well. And so all three of us now have different color embroidery thread, but we all have the mercury dime hanging on a bit of magic.
I love that. And then, you know, there's two things that immediately what you said spurred to my mind. One is prayer beads. You know, we're talking about individually knotting on prayer beads, on malas, on rosaries, but also braiding and braiding hair. Have you ever braided intention into someone's hair?
You know, it's funny. I have not braided intention to someone's hair because I'm a hairstylist, but I have actually put intention into people's hair color. So, you know, sometimes I'm like, okay, she's got a big thing coming up. I want her to feel really, really special. I want her to feel beautiful. I want her to feel enriched. And when she looks in the mirror, she just immediately feels like good about what she is reflecting and putting out. So I might, do a little pentagram over my color as I'm mixing it, and I'm stirring it in a diocel manner going clockwise, and I'll just say pretty plainly, this will make her feel good about herself. It will cover all her gray, most importantly, and carry her through the next time she sees me. And it's just more of like a putting my intention into the color. But I don't do a lot of braiding at the salon anymore. I used to do updos a lot, but I know, I used to love doing them. And then Pinterest came out and started making these like insane amounts of different crazy updos that are gorgeous, but create bridezillas. So
putting it into hair color is still a very binding act when we're talking about the chemical binding into the hair shaft.
Absolutely.
But cord magic in itself is very binding. Mm-hmm. How do you personally use cords? Do you use them like in a crafty way or...
Yes, actually, one of the things that I had read a while ago that I thought was actually really just straight up beneficial to my craft was recognizing that sometimes we don't have the time to wait around for specific celestial events. So the dark moon, a waning moon, a waxing moon, or a full moon. So one of the things that I've actually done is I have like a cord, and a lot of the things I use are red because I just take a bunch of embroidery thread and braid them together for a larger one, and then I have a cord that I'll knot. So under a full moon, if I want to actually capture a little bit of that power and save it for later, I will tie knots, or just a single knot, or 9 knots into it, and into this cord. And that way, if I want to take them back and then use it at another point in time when I need to pull on the full moon's power, I can go on my altar while I'm doing the spell and unknot 1, 2, or 3 of those if I need something extra oomphy. Is that a word? Oomphy?
Yeah, it's a word on this podcast.
It is a word for this. And it works well for the dark moon as well. You know, sometimes you need to do a binding, a banishing, something possibly baneful. And it helps to add, in my opinion, a little bit of new moon or dark moon energy to it. So you can capture celestial events and knots. And I think that's really under talked about, because we're always talking about waiting for the new moon, waiting for the full moon. At least I am sometimes.
Well, you know, we're talking about knotting these under full moons, and I can just hear someone that's listening is going to go, what are you using? What kind of fiber are you using? And is it or is it not important to you to have an organic fiber?
You know, to be perfectly honest, I like the idea of working naturally. I think they are, I believe it's silk embroidery thread that I'm using, because it is really natural. And I had the ability to buy it when I did. It's either silk or cotton. When it comes to actually needing to be a natural fiber, while I think a lot of the consensus is try to go as natural as you can, sounds great, I don't think that's always necessary. I think if you have, I don't know, some boat rope, which is usually something made out of like a synthetic material, because it's
they're usually
extra strong.
Plastic.
Yeah, more plastic. That didn't bother me. I think that's totally fine.
You know, there are some notes to kind of consider, though, if you're listening and you want to use cord magic. If you're using something that is not natural, there's going to be more difficulty in unbinding from that. Purely in the actual knot, right? Because we can burn, we can bury, we can do a lot more things with a natural cotton or hemp or any type of fiber like that. You can use, like, I grow lemongrass, and lemongrass is really long, and I will not lemongrass, I will not palm fronds. So I do, and you know, we're talking like, we're not just talking actual, you know, overhand knots. Like, I do weaving with palm fronds, like baskets almost, and I've done it with pine needles, I've done it with a ton of and sinew. So a natural type of fiber is a lot easier to unbind than an inorganic fiber, just on the basis of what it's made out of and how much effort is required to undo that action.
I would definitely agree. I think when it comes to tying intention into something, we have to decide. A lot of times people ask me, like, what are you going to do with that after it's all over? And sometimes if it's an unnatural ingredient, I would never want to put it back into the earth. But I have buried cotton thread before. I've buried bits of plant material. I've buried bits of my hair that has been knotted or braided. Those are all things that I think can totally go back into the earth safely, as well as recognizing the undoing of them, because, you know, there is the aspect of recognizing that sometimes within synthetic material, I just think that sometimes it can vary some of those types of results slightly, not to the point that I think people need to be super concerned and go spend a lot of money on stuff. That's kind of what I was thinking about when it came to what you have available. And hey, if you've got a big tall blade of grass outside, you have options.
Not in cord magic is one of those things that it doesn't have to cost you a lot of money. And, you know, there is basis, like we were talking about earlier, we mentioned braiding briefly, but even in pop, we have historical references that are more Germanic in nature, Norse, but, you know, there's tons of cultures that are not just Norse that do it, like we have dreadlocks. And in more pop culture references, we have Tangled, the Rapunzel story. And oh, yeah. In that film, you know, we're watching the hair be braided and brushed, and we watch the magic flow down that hair. There's a lot. And taglocks, historical taglocks, have hair as a basis in them. Hair is a very powerful agent in identifying someone and their magic. So you, if you have hair on your body, not everyone does, but if you do have hair on your body, that's something that's at your disposal, especially if you're binding something to yourself. There's no reason you couldn't use your own hair, but you can also go outside and get tall blades of grass or plant like stalks, like daisy chains specifically. I'm thinking like things that have kind of like a more flexible stalk. You don't really have to spend a whole ton of money. And if you do want to spend, if you have a little bit of money to spend, you can go to any kind of craft store like Michael's or Joann's, and you can get embroidery thread, undyed natural embroidery thread for like 39 cents for a small little thing of it. And technically, each of those embroidery things, I think they have like 6 strands each, and you'll notice they're all twisted together. You can untwist those and use them individually. They will last you forever.
Oh yeah, I have a spool of red embroidery thread, and I swear I'm going to have that probably the day I die. it's going to last for forever. There's a famous witch's ladder spell that is kind of in a lot of old material that has been around for decades, if not decades, longer than decades. It's been around for a long period of time.
I think Gemma Gary writes about it too.
She does. There is a little mnemonic that goes with it. It's very interesting because it's very multi-purpose, but it's like, by nod of one, the spell's begun. By nod of two, magic be true. By nod of three, so shall it be. And it goes on. And you can kind of use this spellcraft, whether you're binding power into your cord that you want to unbind later for specific workings. You could also use it to the same way that I was braiding intention into embroidery thread, but with knots instead. You can put those 9 knots into a piece of simple embroidery thread or hair or yarn and wear that as an anklet, wear it as a bracelet, carry that intention around with you because you have knotted the magic into it.
Now, something I do want to briefly talk about before we start closing is I've seen on social media a number of times you create these knotted metal rings and wands, and you knot like stones and whatever else into that. So can you talk about that process a little bit?
Yeah, that's a lot of like binding material. So when I was making more like rings and wands for a while, and I would use gold-plated copper wire to bind the energy sources together. So what I was doing is the idea was I'd hold the wand in my hand, which would be wrapped and bound in the gold-plated copper wire, and it would take the energy from my hand, because copper is a known energy conductor. That's not magic, that's science. Call Bill Nye, okay? And then it would literally touch every one of the crystals along the shaft all the way to the final tip one, because my intention is the will that I'm using is traveling down my arm into my hand, directed with this energy conducting material through the crystals, which have their own specific energetic purposes or are programmed with my intention, into the place that I am directing that energy. It was literally like, it was probably the closest thing to a knotted metal wand you could possibly come to, at least that I've ever made.
It does kind of circle back into knot and cord magic, in that if you really do want to have a cord last you forever, and I mean forever, right? And now I'm not going to tell you how to live your life. If you want a cord to last forever, maybe you got married and you're only getting married once, you could absolutely fuse a knot together permanently using glue or any other material that would make it unbreakable.
Absolutely. Promises, just let alone if you want to make a... Forget picky promises. Make a knot magic spell about promises. Fuse that together. It's unbreakable.
That's a little scary. That's a little extreme. Pinky swear, no, we're going to tie ourselves into this. But, you know, and then we're getting into hand fasting, which is a type of knot. It's a type of marriage knot.
Literally, it's tying it together. That's what they do with the cord.
Binding two entities together, you know. I don't know if I can, but you know, you bind them together through the hands, and you know, through the sanctity of that knot, two becomes one. So there is so many directions that knot and cord magic can take.
And before we close out, I had one more thing I wanted to throw in.
Yes.
It involves a very easy access to a rotisserie chicken.
Okay.
Yes, so you can get a rotisserie chicken in your grocery store whenever you're done eating a delicious meal. You can take and wash the bones, make sure they're clean. And here's the deal is I use a lot of sympathetic magic. So I sympathetically recognize that a chicken lays an egg to me symbolizes birth, creation, newness. So the bones of a chicken, in my opinion, are directly connected to creation, in my opinion. So if you wanted to start knotting in a cord bones into a 9, like a 9, 13, or 6, depending on what type of magical number you're wanting to do, you could very much easily create a lot of magic with knotting chicken, like literally rotisserie chicken bones into a cord. And I think that's a great way to create a type of intention magic that you would either hang in your home as protection, as a ward, as something you wanted to attract prosperity yourself by adding specific types of herbs and things. But I think that using the bones of rotisserie chicken have a lot of uses that people don't think about because they don't necessarily directly connect them with the creation without kind of seeing that degree of separation.
I really like that.
And it's really easy to get. Everyone can get a rotisserie chicken.
Everyone can get a rotisserie chicken, pretty much. Costco sells them for like $4.
Exactly.
I mean, you can get them at Publix or Safeway or wherever else, but they're $4 at Costco. I know that for sure. I love that. I'm going to try that.
Try it out. Tell me what you think.
I will, because I use a lot of eggs, so I'm excited to use the mother.
Exactly. It's the god. It's getting closer to the goddess.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Marshall, for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been really fun.
Oh, it's been great. So if you want to plug yourself before we go, that way people remember where they can find you.
Yes, you can find me on Instagram or TikTok as Witch of Southern Light. You can also listen to me and my co-host Austin on Southern Bramble, a podcast of Crooked Ways on Spotify, Anchor, and Apple. And you can find me on Twitter at Marshall WSL.
And I highly recommend you do find either his TikTok or Instagram, because he shares so many cool tips and techniques. It's always fun to watch another practitioner kind of do what they're doing. And Marshall has a lot to offer. So I really appreciate you being here. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
And this has been Folkcraft. If you want to support the podcast, I have a Patreon, Wild Woman Witchcraft. You can find me pretty much anywhere online. But if you're listening to this podcast, you already know who I am. So have a great day.